Happy New Year. I know some people stayed up, huh? Stayed up late, had to make it to the new year. It's always nice. Good to see you guys. The Lord has brought us through another year that was not promised. It's a gift of God that we made it through. Not everybody did. So I think just recognizing that, thanking the Lord for that, that we get to each day is a gift, right, from the Lord. And just appreciate all of you guys being able to be here with you. And thank you for serving. Thank you for loving our church. And just the year, the way that you have poured out, it's a real blessing. And thank you guys for how you give. Thank you guys for how you bless us and our little one, little family here. We appreciate you guys a lot. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us this year. Off to a rocky start in some regards. I know talking to some of you maybe missed some events with the family, or people had, you know, sickness or flights canceled, but the Lord's faithful, and so we look to the Lord. And I just want to talk about, it's up here on the screen, but enjoying Jesus in 2023. Very simple, very basic, but I think, you know, there's a lot of goals that we can have, and I don't know if you do like New Year's resolutions, or maybe just things that you have on the forefront. You're like, I don't want to make it a resolution, but I would like to improve in this area. Those are helpful, you know, we can grow in some of those things. But I think if all else fails, and if you don't hit any of your goals, my hope for you is that, and for myself, is that we would enjoy Jesus more in 2023. That we would be a church, a people who really prioritize this. Because there's so much going on. There's a lot happening in our world, in our lives. I know things can get busy. You guys have kids, you have jobs, school. This list is endless, really. And unless we like make time, like this just won't happen, right? Like, I don't know if you've seen the past year, time with Jesus just doesn't happen, right? It doesn't just magically like fairy dust sprinkling. You're like, oh, Jesus. Like, it usually takes some like initiative, some prioritizing. And I want to look at this text in Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, to kind of help instruct us and encourage us to get that time with the Lord this year. Let's read Mark 3, 13 through 15, speaking of Jesus. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word to us, Lord, this morning. We thank you for bringing us to the new year, Lord. We thank you for the life and breath and the community you've given us. And we ask, God, that you would be our shepherd, Lord, this year, that you would go before us. You'd help us to trust you more, to enjoy you more, Lord, to recognize all that you've done for us, God, that your love would warm our hearts, that we'd redeem the time that you give us, make the most of the days, Father. So teach us, Lord, through your word, instruct us by your spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, our passage here this morning, this is right before Jesus is going to select the 12 apostles, right? As you see there in verse 14. So he's done some things, he's done some miracles, but kind of the beginning part of his ministry. If you read the passage before, it's been a busy season for Jesus. He's healing people, he's casting out demons, the crowd's pressing in on him. He tells his disciples, hey, get a boat for me because the crowds are crushing me. It's been a very busy, fruitful season for Jesus. But notice what he does in verse 13. He goes up on a mountain. He gets away from the busyness. He calls to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. Notice this. We must hear the call of Jesus, just like these first disciples, the call to get away and be with him. Because we're more than just human doings, right? We're human beings. We're, Christianity is not just about doing things for God, but it's about enjoying God and being with him. And in a world where efficiency is kind of like, that's the big thing, right? Some of you, your jobs, you're like, man, how efficient could I be? I want to crank it out. I want to help like delegate certain things. In a world where that's like one of the top values, the Lord says, hey, the kingdom economics work differently, right? In the kingdom, efficiency is not primary. Relationship is primary, right? Enjoying Jesus, not merely what we do, but who we're spending time with. And this invitation of Jesus is not just for the disciples here, but it's also for us. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is calling us to himself, not to get something from us, but to give something to us. Notice this. He says, are you labored? Are you weighed down by burdens today? You look at the past year, you're like, man, I'm heavy laden. There's a lot of things happening that cause our hearts to be heavy. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me because I want to give you rest. I want to give you the true rest that your soul needs. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So often we're looking for this rest. We look in different places, different things to meet our needs. But Jesus is there waiting, saying, hey, I have the true rest. Whenever you're tired enough, whenever you're ready enough, I'm here, arms wide open. I want to give you the true rest that you need. The disciples heard the call of Jesus. They go up on the mountain. I love how it says he called to him those whom he desired. Right? Jesus loves his people. Jesus wants to be with you. It's not just about us trying to get with Jesus, but Jesus really wants to be with us. Right? That's his heart. He loves us. Notice in verse 14, first part of verse 14. We must hear the call of Jesus, but also, we want to take time to enjoy Jesus. It says in verse 14, the first part, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him. This is really the priority, right? Jesus wants to be with us, and he wants people who want to be with him. Again, before he sends them out to do the work, he's saying, you guys, I'm not just looking for people who can work for my kingdom. I'm not just looking for people who could just hunker down and get things done, cast out demons, preach the gospel, serve in the church, give. I'm not just looking for people who are bringing something to the table. I'm looking for people who want to be with me. I'm looking for people who want to enjoy this relationship. Scripture says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Right? And you oftentimes hear that. I know I've heard it where people say, man, just, you know, God wants to give you the desires of your heart, you know, health, wealth, let's go. Like, and it's this message sometimes where it's like, you're the end goal, right? God wants to just meet all your needs. He's like the cosmic Santa Claus who just brings the gifts. But what this text is really saying is that as we find our joy and delight in the Lord, in this relationship with him, what begins to happen is some of those desires you might have in and of yourself, they begin to change, right? Why? Because you have the mind of Christ. Because Christ begins to give you his heart. So maybe certain desires that you might have begin to change as time goes on. As you're finding your joy and delight in the Lord, your desires begin to reflect his. You start to want the things that he wants. And so as we're delighting in the Lord, as we go about this year, we can be confident that he's going to give us the desires of our heart. He's going to give us what we truly want. And I know in life there's certain times where I've been disappointed, where I'm like, man, I thought I was going to be with this person, and what's happening? Some of you, right, relationally, it's like, where's my friends at? Or there's certain aches of our hearts where we're like, man, I feel like God's not giving me the desires of my heart. As we look back, though, and we only see a certain amount of what's happening, the reality. But as we look back, we can kind of see, you know what? God was protecting me. God was shielding me. God was doing something in me in this season. I didn't know that's what I needed. I didn't know that's what I truly wanted. But God saw the big picture down the road. And when we're in glory one day, it will all make sense. I know right now we try to make sense of things like disappointments and disillusionments and struggles, but one day when we see Jesus, he says, in that day you'll ask me nothing. You're just going to know, like, this is what God was doing. God was truly working all things together for my good. He was doing it. It's been said, you know, sometimes it seems like God might be doing one or two things in your life, but he's really doing 1,000. Like, we have very finite, limited understanding of how God moves in our lives. And that's why the scripture continually calls us, trust in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Don't trust in princes or your government or your finances or your bank account. Put your hope fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's only safe in him, right? As we go this year, we're seeing, you put your hope in vacation plans. You put your hope in your job. There's so much uncertainty right nowadays. And the Lord is wanting us to say, hey, like, yes, these things are good. It's fine to look forward to things. But really, we want our ultimate hope to be in the Lord. A clear picture of this, enjoying Jesus' priority, is in Luke 10, verse 38 through 42, which we've looked at before. It's the story of Mary and Martha. And we've looked at this passage before, but basically, these two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Mary, once Jesus enters the house, there's two different responses. If you remember, what does Mary do? She sits at the feet of Jesus. She listens to his word. She drops everything and says, I need to be with Jesus. Martha, what does she do? I need to serve Jesus. I need to start doing things. I need to start serving him, which, again, is serving God a bad thing? Like, no, we're called to serve the Lord with gladness. But it can be a bad thing when we don't prioritize the ultimate thing, right? When we allow the urgent things to push out the most important things, that's when it becomes a bad thing. Martha, as we oftentimes do when we look around the church, we're like, man, like, what's wrong with these people? Like, 10% of the people doing 90% of the work? Or like, there's a little majority of people doing a lot of ministry usually. There's other people on the sideline. The tendency for us is to complain. Why don't these people do more? That's what Martha says to the Lord. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. She's with Jesus. Jesus is in the house, and she's totally missing the point. This relationship that Jesus wants with her, she's so busy doing, she's so busy serving, that she's losing sight of what's really important. And the Lord answers her in verse 41, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He says, hey, this is the real issue, Martha. Underneath your serving is this anxious and troubled heart. It's just amazing how we could be doing the right things, but with the wrong heart. And the Lord will highlight and say, hey, you're not really serving me. You're serving yourself. Your need to be in control, to be the one to do things, your mindset and how you view efficiency and just getting things done and cranking things out, that's actually a hindrance. That's actually manifesting a deeper issue there. Again, the Lord would call us, those of you who are anxious, worried, troubled, burdened, come to me and I'll give you that rest. He says in verse 42, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Mary drops everything, sits at the feet of Jesus, and listens to his word. And the Lord says, hey, she's doing the best thing. And you would look at the situation like, well, she's not doing anything. Like, Martha's the busy one. She's the one that's doing stuff. Mary's in this posture of just sitting before the Lord in humility, receiving the word of God from Jesus. But the Lord says, hey, that's the good portion. And my heart for us this year is that we would really prioritize this, that we say, you know what, like, there's a lot that we can do. There's a lot that we will do. But that we would say, you know what, I want to take some time, and maybe it's been a while since you've got some time with Jesus. And we got to start somewhere, right? I'm not trying to heap like a burden on you, a duty. I remember growing up, sometimes my dad's, hey, did you read your Bible? You know, did you read your Bible? It's like this chore, duty kind of thing, which you want to encourage your kids to walk with the Lord, of course. But in my mind, it's like, all right, I know I should be reading. I know that, like, dad's going to be like, hey, did you read? It's like, all right, yep, I read. But it's more than a duty. It's really a privilege that we've been given by God to understand that this is something that Christ purchased for us, that we were once cut off from Christ. And that's why Jesus comes and says, you know what? I'm going to bridge the gap that's there with the Father because of our sin. I'm going to die the death that you deserve, that you can enjoy this relationship with the Father. And I just hope that we get some more of this vision this year, because we'll be the most fruitful when we're spending time with Jesus, right? Like when we're trying to just do it, which I've done, which I do, it's tough. You start seeing people as a burden, right? You're like, oh, that person, oh, gosh. Another issue, another problem. You're like Martha, just complaining. When you're filled up with the Lord, though, it's just a natural byproduct. You're like, I want to minister. I want to see people, like, I want to love on people because the Lord is filling up my cup. But when you're running on empty and just trying to crank it out, you got to get recharged. You got to get refueled. And the good news is that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, wants to do that with us. He wants to empower us for the work that he's calling us to. Lastly, recognize that you've been sent out by Jesus, okay? Take time to enjoy Jesus, but also recognize that you've been sent out by Jesus, right? There are good works that God calls us to do, right? The scripture is clear. Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, his work of art, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That should excite you. The fact that, like, this year, this day, there are good works that God has, like, hey, I have these works for my child, my son, my daughter, to walk in. We're not merely just trying to, like, work like crazy. God's opening up the doors. He's gone ahead of us and said, I'm preparing these works for you to walk in. The book of Titus tells us that we should be zealous for good works. The people of God should be marked by a holy zeal for good works, to be a blessing to others. See, Jesus called them to be with him, but also the rest of the verse there in verse 15, and he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. So yes, be with Jesus, enjoy Jesus, but understand that you're sent out by Jesus. And he says to his people, as the Father has sent me, so I now send you. It's pretty wild. As Jesus was sent by the Father, so now he says, I'm sending you out into the world to be my hands and feet, to be my ambassadors. They were proclaiming the kingdom and they were demonstrating the kingdom. Notice, they went out to preach and they had authority to cast out demons. Proclamation and demonstration. We do this by the words that we speak. We do this by telling people, hey, like, can I pray for you? Can I share the Lord with you? I would encourage you, like, step out this year. When's the last time you shared the Lord with someone? You don't have to hit all the things, like, everything in the Bible, but maybe you open up your mouth and say, Lord, give me an opportunity today. Give me an opportunity this week to open up my mouth and just say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I want to give you a verse. You'll be in my heart, and I'll be lifting you up before the Lord. We also demonstrate the kingdom, right? It's not just talk. We want to see people delivered. We want to see people free. And this means we must be in tune with the Spirit, because God wants to give us words for people. God wants to give us insight into people's lives. And so it's very important that we're dependent on the Holy Spirit to do that. We're in tune with him, and he sends us out to do this as well. I'm going to close it here. Just some ways real quick that we can enjoy Jesus. remind yourself of his heart for you. That he doesn't need you. He doesn't need you to like do things for him. He just wants to be with you. Look at the cross. Look at how he's given his life for you. It's because he wants to be with you. Because one day, for those who are in Christ, we'll be with him forever. And that's really the focus of heaven. They will be with him, and he shall be their God. No more tears. No more life under the fall. But it's like God wants to be with his people. I think about little daughter over there. And, you know, I think it was a few weeks ago when I was out of town, this wedding, and I'm like, man, I realized something. I was like, man, it's like the first day I'm not going to see her because I had to stay like down south. And, oh, man, it's a bummer. Like, I'm used to seeing her. I look forward to seeing her. And when I think about God and the father heart of God for his children, it's like he loves to see his children. I think he like misses you like when he doesn't see you, right? It's like, hey, son, daughter, I haven't seen you for like a year, but like I'm still here. I love you. I would love to get with you. And I would just encourage you this week, maybe you just start small. I'm going to just carve out some time. It's so hard to be still and like to get in some quiet. Maybe you hide in the bathroom if you have kids. You're just like, I just want to read like a verse. Like, Lord, I just want to pray real quick. Like, would you restore the joy of my salvation? If this has become lost on me, would you just like send your spirit and help me? Do you think God wants to answer that prayer? His children, do you think he wants them to experience his joy? Yeah. Create some time this week. Look at him through the word like Mary. Sit before him at his feet. Hear the word of God. Lord, we thank you.